way of life and imitate their faith. And jump down to verse 17. We'll skip the weird blood sacrifice stuff between there. Verse 17. It's important. We're just not dealing with it today. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account, that is, unto God. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Verse 18, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Today we are continuing in our Church You Love series for the fall. We'll finish next week. Yay! We'll finish next week. And today we want to say that we want to be a church who loves leadership. And I'll confess, it's kind of awkward to teach on it from as a leader. And it's just kind of an awkward. You guys better do what I say, because the Bible says it's a weird subject. But like we said, through everything with Church who loves the gospel, who loves grace, who loves discipleship, who loves prayer, all these things, we just can't assume that we get it. We can't assume that we understand it and are just going for it full bore. So we do need to teach on it, because Jesus talks about it. The Bible talks about it. And so for our leadership's good, for your good, and for God's glory in Tonkawa, we don't just want to cover this, but we want to love it. All right? We want to embrace the way God has set things up for the world, for the church, for the home to flourish. I mean, that's his goal, is to see what happened in the beginning when everything was good. In the new, it's just going to be better, okay? And he's given us instructions for that now. And so, unless you've been living under a rock, I don't think you need to stretch very much to see that there is a leadership crisis in the West, at least. I can't speak for the whole planet, but I can't speak for the West, that there's a crisis in churches and governments and institutions. The people that God has called to lead them are not fulfilling that call. Okay? It's just, again, unless you've been living under a rock. And then there are, there is a big issue, and this is not a John Maxwell Zig Ziglar talk on leadership. Okay? We're going to talk about Jesus here. Anyway, there's real problems associated with leadership, okay? As children that we are of one church scandal after another, right? You just turn on the news, you see this, and you see this, and you see this. We are suspicious of leadership, okay? We have problems with leadership. We've seen leadership in the church abused. We've seen leadership out of the church abused. And so we want to have nothing to do with leadership. And now, 2017, autonomy is king. Okay? Me doing my own thing, no one telling me what to do ever. I am the final authority on all things. That's what we embrace and we love. The Bible says differently. Okay? It tells a different story than what the world's telling us. And you can see this in schools. And teachers, tell me if I'm lying. I don't think I am. Okay? Kid acts up at school so bad that teacher calls parent. Parent comes to school and meets with teacher. Agrees with the teacher, says, yes, kid is bad. Okay? Says, kid is bad, goes home, puts the fear of God into the child, showing the child that, hey, me and the teacher, we're on the same side here. Okay? Authority is good. This teacher is for your good, and maybe go into this teacher as part of God's design for you to flourish. Okay? That's how it should work. Now what seems to happen is kid acts up, teacher calls parent, parent comes to school, yells at teacher for curtailing their child's creativity and life. Goes home, has the child leave the room, tries to put the fear of God into the teacher. Don't you ever tell my son, don't you ever tell my daughter how to act, showing the child that, hey, authority is bad. Authority is not God given. It's not good for you. You are king over them. And that's not good. We're suspicious of this. And then that's authority. We're suspicious of submission because it makes us feel inferior. Okay? So let me say it loud and clear. This is the picture the Bible gives us. Submission to authority does not mean that you are inferior to authority at all. That's not what it means. And we're not going to do all of it today. But when Paul writes in Ephesians, wives, submit to your husbands, you know what Paul's not saying is, husbands, you are so much better than your wives. You are so much smarter than your wives. In every way imaginable, you are over them and better than them. They are dumb and you are smart. That's not what Paul is writing when he says, wives submit to your husbands. If you harken back to the creation narrative, who needs help? God creates a helper for who? Man, right? They were deficient. They needed the help. So that's not what Paul is saying. The point of submission, we'll get into it later, is that all are created in the image of God. Okay? All of us that know Jesus, all of us are made in the image of God. All of us are equally loved by God. All of us are equally valuable to God. But for the world to flourish, God has ordained leaders and those that would submit to their leaders. It's not saying you're inferior in any way. It's saying we have different roles, different ways that we do things to make this happen. Okay, so equally valuable. Okay, I am in no way superior or more valuable than anyone in this room. Equal but different. We sang it this morning. Who does Jesus submit to? Father, not my will, but your be done, Jesus tells his Father. Is Jesus inferior to the Father? Is Jesus less valuable than the Father? No, but they play different roles. And Jesus' role in the Trinity is submission to the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. And so if we just had our Bibles, right? If we just lived in boxes and only had our Bibles teaching on leadership and submission and authority, it wouldn't be hard to understand. But because the world and the fall, cause of sin, has bent everything, changed everything, a lot of what we're going to see in the Scripture concerning leadership sounds backwards to us, okay? It sounds messed up to us, like it shouldn't be that way that the Bible teaches differently. So again, church members, you're not inferior to church leaders. We just have different roles, okay? For our joy and our flourishing and for God's glory, following Jesus involves loving leadership, being glad that Jesus set up his church the way he did, okay? So this is what we want to do. First thing to understand about church leadership is that it comes from Jesus, okay? It's not a new thing. Okay, from the beginning, okay, when it was just the happy land of the Trinity, the church was in Jesus' heart. And so authority was in his heart. Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Okay, and you see this almost comically when Jesus is before Pilate. If you know the story, he's about to go to the cross and Pilate kind of tries to tell Jesus like, hey man, I'm over you. I'm in charge of you. You've read this story. We're going to get into it in March. And Jesus is like, well, where'd you get your authority from? Okay, the only authority you have over me has been given to you by me. And so all authority comes from Jesus, and that extends into now the church through elders and pastors and bishops, presbyteries, shepherds, whatever New Testament word you want to use there. They're all the same word. They flip-flop around a lot. Actually, in your New Testament, the word for overseer here used the least is pastor. Okay, but we use it just as a cultural thing now. But all those words kind of mean the same thing. In Acts 20:28, again, authority comes from God. Paul tells these elders at Ephesus, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Okay, not saying you being awesome made you an overseer or these people made you overseers, but actually the Lord himself has set you up as overseers, saying this is God's doing, it's God's work, and it's God's doing, it's God's work. We want to love it, okay? Not tolerate it or just be okay with it. We want to love what God has done. Okay, so first Jesus, now leadership and authority in the church is from God, but that authority is recognized and that authority is practiced only so long as that authority stays under the word of God. It's big, okay? That's crucial. That keeps people from abuse and being dominated. As long as it's under the word, submit. But as soon as it leaves the word, get out. Leadership comes from Jesus, and then leadership comes from his word. Hebrews 13:7. But right at the start, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. So in the church, leadership is married to the teaching of the word of God. Okay? The only authority I have over anyone here is tied up intimately to the word of God. If I leave this book, I have no biblical authority, I have no claim on you, and you owe me nor any of our elders any submission at all. We leave this book. To put it shorter, if we leave this book, you leave us. Okay? So let's ask these questions for you as a member to your church. I mean, this is a church who loves. We want to aim to be a church that loves leadership. And so these are questions you have to answer as a member to see, am I going to be a part of this church who loves? The first question is, are they speaking the word faithfully? Okay? If you can answer yes, are the leaders speaking the word faithfully? Then this is a good place for you. Okay? This is a good family for you to be a part of. If they're not, okay, if I'm not, run for the hills, okay? Go down the street to Pastor Rob or Brother Phil over here, okay? Do that. I'm not kidding. If we leave the book, go somewhere else. Don't follow us, okay? Because if you stay here and we leave the book and you continue submitting to our leadership here, only misery is coming for you and only destruction is coming for you, okay? Without a prophetic vision, the scripture tells us, without loving the word, being married to the word, without that, the people perish. And that's coming for you if you stay here and we leave the word, okay? The word is sharp, right? What does Hebrews 4 tell us? Somewhere there. It's living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Would you hand that to a baby? Would you hand that to someone who doesn't know how to handle a sword? If you hand a sword to someone who doesn't know how to handle it, you know what happens, like toes and fingers, and they get cut off. The word is to be handled carefully, not clumsily, humbly, and not arrogantly. This is why God set up leaders, and this is why he ties leadership to the word. And it matters a lot, guys, especially, I say especially now, I actually looked it up. Bad teaching gets out fast 500 years ago and now, okay? And so if your leaders don't know the word and can't course correct you biblically, that's scary for you. If we can't handle the word, that's bad and you need to leave, okay? Still concerning the word, second question, when leaders are wrong, do they admit that they were? Now, I've never been wrong about anything in the Bible before, so we don't have to worry about question two. That was a joke for you people that didn't mind. Okay, I know that I'm wrong about a lot of things. I just don't know what they are. Okay, but when I do know what they, I mean, I'm gonna get to heaven and see Jesus, and he's like, man, really? Like, you said that? Yeah, that's right. Because no, it's not. Okay, I know I'm wrong about things. Our elders know we're wrong about things. We just don't know which ones. When we do, though, do we correct it? Okay, do we repent? Say, hey, we were wrong here. If we're not doing that, guys, you need to leave. Okay, we'll hurt you. We'll hurt you badly. Okay, when we're wrong, do we admit it? Third, do the leaders take questions? Okay, so if there's something in our teaching that you're not sure about or you want more clarity on, do you feel comfortable to ask the leaders? Or if you ask, do the leaders blow you off and say, you're supposed to submit to me, don't ask that question? If that's what you get, guys, get out of here. Destruction's coming for you, for the church, okay? And if you can't answer any of those three questions in the affirmative, again, this is a bad church. For your soul's sake, leave. Leave. Next thing, leadership comes from life imitation. Again, verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. There's the word aspect. Consider now the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So this is a big important truth here for elders and deacons. And Paul fleshes these things out again in Timothy, Titus, Ephesians. Peter does this in his letter. So the next question is this. Do these leaders have lives that I can imitate? Meaning, he asks, if I was more like them, would I look more like Jesus or less like Jesus? Big questions, and for our elders, for our deacons, for you Sunday school teachers and leaders, this is a terrifying question. If our people acted like us, would they look more or less like Jesus? Break it down practically. If everyone in the church, leaders, imitated our private prayer, would our church be more prayerful or less prayerful? Scary question, but it's our responsibility to ask that question. Okay. Second thing, if everyone in the church imitated us in worship attendance, would our church be more consistent or less consistent? Like, I don't have a choice. But that's a scary question. Third one, the hardest one, if everyone in the church imitated us in financial giving, would we be able to keep the lights on? Can I imitate these people is what the scripture points us to. Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:16, he says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So if our teaching is spot on, but we treat our wives like trash, people will follow us to hell. On the other side, if our teaching is spot on and we're aiming to love Jesus in our character part of our life, it says you will not only save yourself, but your hearers as well. Okay, so it's kind of a weird Sunday morning type sermon, but it's a matter of life and death. Paul is pointing to church leadership. Keep close watch on yourself and on your doctrine. And if you persist in this, you'll save not only yourself, but your hearers as well. This isn't secondary. Life and death, heaven and hell are tied up in this issue. Second thing, are they a great communicator, but a terrible person? Okay? Meaning if a guy can preach the paint off the walls, but again, treats his wife like trash, you shouldn't follow him, nor be part of a church that does. Okay, you just shouldn't do that. If you don't find the leaders' lives worth imitating, find a church where you can. Okay, I know they exist. I believe that it exists here, but I'm just saying, find a church where you can. Verse 17 now of Hebrews here. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give account. Very scary. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Okay, so number three, and this is the millennial thing that we hate here. Am I prepared to obey and submit to these leaders or another group of leaders? Okay, hear the question. I didn't ask, am I prepared to submit to any leadership? Okay. Because the New Testament would look at you crazy if you asked that. There's leadership here or leadership somewhere else. There's no not being submitted. Sorry for the double negative. There's no not being submitted anywhere. That's just not a New Testament idea. So your leaders are teaching correctly, all right? We're living righteously, but now you have to ask the question, okay, but can I submit to them? Can you do that, okay? I have a story about this that it starts out really bad, but it finishes really good, okay? So I started, when we were looking for a pastor, I was 23, so I was preaching every Sunday as 23. When I was actually in the actual role, I was 24, okay? A former member came up to me and said, hey, I don't want to be pastored by a kid. And I said, me neither. And, again, it could be really bad, but it's a really good story. And I told him, I said, hey, you know, I don't want to be pastored by a kid either, but I have 9 other elders here who are not kids. Okay, and Joe, are you a kid? I wouldn't put you in the category of kid. And so I tried to explain that to him, like, hey, there's 9 other guys here who are leading this church and doing that thing. And he didn't really understand it, I think, because so much of small-town ministry is an unbiblical solo pastor, solo elder type model. I just don't think that's scriptural, but that's the culture. So he left the church, okay, and he joined another church where he could submit to the leadership, and he's flourishing, and he's doing really, really, really well. You know, it's not a personal thing. I see him, and like we hug, and I have a good time. Guys, that's a good story, because he didn't say, I'm not submitting here, so I'm not submitting anywhere. He said, I just can't do it here. I'm going to go over here where I can. So that's the question you ask. Can I submit to the leadership here? And as a Christian, if it's here, it's got to be here or somewhere else. There's no, I do my own thing all the time. It's just not, it's foreign to the New Testament, okay? So what is submission? What does that entail? Have you ever heard a teaching on leadership on Sunday morning before? No. So submission sounds weird. Submission doesn't mean that our elders are going to come into your house and tell you what color to paint. Daryl could make recommendations as an elder who is a painter. But that's not what submission means. I'm OCD. I might come in and ask you to rearrange the furniture. But it's not a command that we can do. We're not going to come to you at the hospital as you're giving birth and tell you what to name your child. That's not what submission either. Now, biblically, we would say, hey, maybe not Delilah. Maybe not Lucifer. I mean, those are... Submission doesn't mean those things, okay? We're not... It's not a totalitarian regime type thing. What we will do, okay, what it means for us and for you is we will guide you positively, again, from the scripture, okay? from the Scripture will do this, and course correct you discipline-wise from the Scripture, okay? Meaning, if you're a member here, you say, hey, I'm all in for Jesus, I'm all in for this church and these people, and then we either see you or hear about you out in town living like the devil, because we love you, we're going to come say, hey, what are you doing? What's that about? Here's what the Scripture says, come on back, all right? It's leaving the 99 to go and find the one, not to kick out the one, but to bring the one back. That's part of what it means. The next thing that submission means is that you're just not going to fight, okay? On vision aspects of the church, you're not going to fight. See, the rub with submission, what the Bible talks about in submission, the rub is that submission seems to end when agreement does. It's easy for me to submit to somebody that I agree with them on everything, but it's not really submission. If I submit to someone I agree with, but as soon as I disagree over a non-heaven-hell issue, then it's not really submission. It's like, hey, I kind of like you and we agree on stuff, but I'm not going to talk to you or be under you when we don't agree. So if you are a good church member, and I'm finding out, based on my description in a second, there are lots of good church members here. If you're a good church member, you're going to ask questions. That's good. Okay, we want you to ask questions. You're going to pry and prod in a good way. You're going to educate yourself on issues of our vision and what we're doing. But what you're not going to do is fight. What you're not going to do is slander out there or say negative things. You're just not going to do that. If you're not, you're not submission. You're doing your own thing. Okay, you're not really about us. You're about you. So ask questions, pry, prod, try and figure out why. If your leaders can't give you a good why, okay, that's going to bring that to them. But you're not going to fight, okay? We're not going to fight and do this thing. Churches that say they want to grow in health and in number but don't want to change, those are like people who say, I want to get healthy but never going to exercise. You're never going to eat differently. Guys, to change is to grow, and it hurts. And so when we make changes, I want you to ask questions. I want you to pry and prod. I want you to find out why. But you're not going to fight. We're just not going to do it. Pastor Derek was here for 5 years. Was my pastor. He's my pastor now in Ada. And guys, you know me. You know we are like so different. Yeah, personality-wise, we are night and day. And he did so many things that I would have done differently. Okay, so many things that he would do, and I'm like, inwardly, just like, why? But because I was submitted to him, because he was my pastor, I didn't just go along with it, kind of half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly said, hey, I don't really agree with this, but I respect you, you're my pastor, I'm under the authority of you, let's do it, let's go wholeheartedly, okay? That I'm not trying to prop myself up here, I'm saying that's what it looks like. Unless it's a heaven or hell thing, we're not going to fight, okay? That's how it looks from the standpoint of a church member. So what does it look like from a church leader, okay? Elders, this part's terrible, okay? So brace yourself. Verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give account. So elders, church leaders, we will have to give account for how we kept watch over the flock, okay? Meaning, when we see Jesus, he's going. When we as under shepherds, meet the good shepherd face to face, he's going to say, "How did you keep watch? Give account." Okay. And so on that day, if that's true, and I believe that's true, if that's true, why on earth would anything in me right now, if I'm going to have to give account to Jesus, elders, if we're going to have to give account to Jesus, why would we want to in this life, if we're going to give account in the next one, why would we say, when we give account, yeah, I was a jerk, and I was domineering, and I bent these people to my will. Do you want to tell Jesus that? No. No, you don't. Do you want to tell him, Jesus, I my highest goal was to please people, and I was pretty lazy. Do you want to tell him that either? No. No, we just don't want to do that. We want to say, Jesus, I did the best that I could. I kept watch. I tried to pray, I tried to study, I tried to think and plan and strategize, God, for your glory with this flock in the world, and I know I messed up a lot. Guys, that's the response he's looking for. Did you aim to shepherd these people well? Not were you lazy and people-pleasing, not were you a domineering jerk, but did you aim to love me and love them well? So what does it mean to keep watch? A lot of things, but here's a few. First thing is, elders, to keep watch is we keep the church together. And I won't go to all the passages, but unity in Christ's body is so dear to him. It matters. I think issues like church unity, I think these make Jesus' blood pump fast. He believes in them. And so, elders, we do everything in our power to keep our church together. It's part of what it means to keep watch. If we can keep a split from happening, we will do it. We will lay our lives down to do that. A couple weeks ago, I brought something to the elders that, I've never been wrong, in my mind was... In my mind, was the right decision, was the right thing to do, and they respectfully said, no, I think that would hurt the church. I think that might bring us apart. And so I just said, okay, that's what we're doing. Because our first goal isn't what I think is right. It's what all 9 of us, or 10, I don't do math. Is this going to keep us together? Is this going to keep unity in the body? We're going to do that thing. Second thing is guide. Good shepherds don't just feed their sheep, what I'm trying to do now, but they also lead their sheep. Psalm 23 that Daryl read this morning, what does he say? Lead me beside still waters. And as they do this, they do it by conduct and imitation. This is part of our leadership. There's a story of a tour guide in Israel, and she's telling everyone on the bus, hey, look at these shepherds in Israel. They never lead the flock from behind. They're always in front leading the people. And so they pull up on a flock, and the shepherd, or who they think is the shepherd, is behind the sheep, pushing them forward. And so the tour guide just feels like a complete idiot, stops the bus, runs out to the shepherd, and says, hey, you made me look dumb. I just told all these people that you are always in the front leading. And he says, well, you're correct. I'm the butcher. I'm behind. I'm trying to get them somewhere to slaughter them. And you see the application in the church. Elders, we are out in front leading, setting an example, not behind dominating like butchers, forcing the sheep to slaughter, but leading them beside still waters. That's what we have to do. Third thing is guard, okay? So it's our leader's job to keep weird, crazy, unbiblical stuff out of our church. It's a huge thing. Paul, not going to Titus and Timothy here, but that's a huge thing. So I'm not going to invite anyone to teach in here that's going to tell you that America is like the new Israel or something. They're not coming in, okay? I'm not going to let someone come in here who's going to tell you, hey, in the next 9 minutes, if you give $9 or $990, the Lord will give you $990,000. We got to do it in the next 9 minutes. That guy's not coming here, okay? It's just not happening. Because we love you and we have to give an account to God how we kept the sheep, how we guarded them. Likewise, our deacons are going to protect you in a much more physical way, working on policies and physical things in the home and the church to keep you safe. Elders, we serve by leading. Deacons, you lead by serving. And those things are going to go in and out. But we're here to guard. And I'm going to say, The way our church is set up is we have elders, we have deacons, and when they come together, it's like it's a board, okay? And so deacons are on that board. I just need to say this. There are people who are not on the board who are deacons, okay? Jim, you're not on the board. I don't know of a more deacony deacon than you, okay? I mean, I'm just... This is what we do. God set up his church this way. Okay? Fourth thing is we'll have your back as leaders. Okay? We will go to bat for you. If you're a member of this church, our leaders will go to bat for you if no one else will. Okay? So if we hear your name in here or out here being slandered, we'll stop it. Okay? We'll end it. We have your back. Fifth thing is that leaders make hard decisions. This is part of keeping watch. Leadership is this, and in 2 years I haven't found many more things true than this. It's being fully aware that you are a coward, being fully aware that you bend toward people-pleasing, and doing the right thing anyway, even if it will bring you stress and and trouble and anxiety, you do it anyway. It's like, I know I'm a coward. I know I want to please people, but this is the right thing, and doing it anyway. That's what leaders do. And that's the kind of leaders you want in your church. Guys, you don't want people pleasers leading you. They'll just lead you into mediocrity forever. That's not what we want to do. George Whitefield, the great evangelist, says it is the character of hirelings and false prophets who care not for the sheep to have all men speak well of them. And if you know Whitefield's story, a lot of people did not speak well of him, but we're talking about him 200 years later. It's a leader's charge not to keep them happy, but holy, and that's often unpopular. That means saying no to really good ideas. That means ending programs. That means starting programs. That means looking at our church's time, looking at our church's people, our energy, what we can do, and then planning our strategy based on those things for Tonkawa, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. This is what we do. It means not bending to cowardice. Okay? All right, two more things. So, hopefully, you're not thinking that leaders have all the power, they make all the decisions, and members have no authority whatsoever. If you've gotten that vibe, it's not true at all. From the scripture, we think that. First thing, if leaders are wanting to do something, employing strategy, pushing us somewhere, and no one's on board, it's not going to happen. Who has authority there? Members, right? You can do this with your checkbooks, too. Second thing, I found out later, I didn't know it at the time, I'm a full-blown Baptist in this regard, and so is our church constitution. I believe that the church body as a whole, okay, you members, you hold the final authority in receiving new members. At the end of the line, that's down to the membership, okay? You are the end of the line in disciplining current members, okay? That happens a couple different ways, but at the end, that's up to the church. Okay, that's what you guys do. And then last thing, electing your leaders, okay? And I can make biblical arguments for all those things, okay? That's what members' authority is, okay? Anyway, last thing. Why can we love leadership when the world is suspicious of it and the world seems to hate authority? Why can we in the church? Because who is our leader? Who's the actual senior pastor of the church? Who's the good shepherd? We love leadership because Jesus defines what it looks like for us, not the world. Here's what it looks like. John 10, verse 10. I think verse 10 here certainly can speak of the devil, the enemy. But in context here, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. So he's contrasting them with him as the perfect leader. John 10, verse 9. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, Jesus says again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I what? Lay down my life for my sheep. Church, this is the leader that we love. This is the leader that we say, I will follow you wherever you go. This is why we can love leadership. It's why we can see it in the Bible, see it in our church, and embrace it, because the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Sierra, you come help me, please. So we love leadership at our church because we love those who would lay down their lives for us. Guys, we would, and I don't mean to take this lightly because of what happened 2 weeks ago, but guys, your leaders would take a bullet for you. Okay? If it comes down to it, we're stepping in front for you because we love you. This is our call. This is what God has asked us to do. So we will do our best to imitate the good shepherd, lay down our lives for you. Church, we will not leave when the wolves come. We just won't. But because Jesus loved us and gave himself for us, now we will do the same for you. Okay? And this is again, this is not the full breadth of scripture, on this, but I just wanted to put this in front of us and say, we're going to love this, we're going to go for this, we're going to mess up, and when we do, we're going to say, hey, we messed up. Okay? So what I want to do before we take from the table, I just want us to take some time and just, again, pledge our allegiance to Jesus, perfect Lamb of God, the perfect leader. Sarah's going to sing, I will follow you wherever you lead. This is what we're doing. And when we're done praying just for a little bit, we'll take from the table. All right? Let me just pray one more time. Jesus, we look to you as our pastor. We look to you as our shepherd, our leader, our guide. We trust your leadership, that you're not done with your church in Tonkawa. You're not done with your church worldwide. So God, I ask for grace to love you. Grace to follow you. Grace to trust you with our lives, with our church's life. In the name of Jesus. God, we repent for not following you. Thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, but sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Hear Jesus say to us today, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Our elders and deacons, if you guys will come forward, we'll take from the table now. Thank you.
you're a Christian, we invite you to share in the Lord's Supper with us and just continue to examine ourselves, our shortcomings, our failures as leaders, many different leadership roles that we have.
Thank you. Baptist Church is the community Thanksgiving service, so you're all invited to that. It's a good time. Tonight, 6 p.m., Baptist Church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
What are you all doing? You went to my house for salad.
I don't know. Can you give me a second?
Yeah. Playing all over last night.
I've been praying for her.
She's doing great.
No, we're just.
Oh, okay. Bye.
What are you guys doing?
Will. Really?
Oh, my head hurts so bad. I'm cramping so bad.
Which is supposed to be the exact same.
Never had one before. Generic. She needs to come in and see Jen and get it changed.
Yeah.
Well, we're going out to eat, and Neva's going with us. So it's where we're going is dependent upon you if you're going with us or not.
I gotta talk to Josh. I don't know.
If you want to go, we can go to Food Pyramid and get a salad, because I know that's what you want. If Daddy, if you don't go and we get Mexican.
Well, they have a lot of meat on that salad. Oh,
yeah. Daddy would like Potros. That's his favorite place. Or if we stay in town, it would be China.
Los Potros, yeah. And Blackwell.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. His favorite. But if they want to go, she's got to talk to Josh.
Jill, when are you leaving? Jill, Tuesday? Have a great Thanksgiving.
My head hurts so bad.
Good to see you walking without AIDS.
Yes. On the beach.
Yes. Hey, darling.
Some things going on at work, especially tonight.
How are you doing?
Good. The yellow one is not.
I'm not very much. Consequently, they're not happy with me.
I like the chocolate. Yeah.
Hey, you. Your mama's been bragging on you.
Oh my gosh. That's your ACT.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that.
That is awesome.
Awesome. That's the first thing I heard Wednesday night when I went in the door.
His ACT.
And she was deserving of bragging, that's for sure. That's for sure.
We don't know yet.
So this is what you're going to want.
What do you want to eat?
I don't even know.
What do you want to eat?
Okay.
Good.
I know.
Like, my mom's like, no, I actually don't remember that conversation.
Oh,
yeah, I know. I'm pretty proud of you. Go with me. You'll have more fun with me.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Sundays ago they did, yes.
Over the country, airplanes, from Maine down to
try not to, but it always works out that way, right?
And McKenna, they sure did.
So we invite you all of us.
Thank you. Those
children.
I think Brody's going to probably end up here.
I'm like, I don't need to. I know.
So, he needs tutoring on his math.
Yeah, they've got a lot of love in them.
Although he already. Well, yeah. He wants to go to ACM.
I thought I did too, and I switched like.
Well, what? I mean, like where Sierra goes, they don't do scholarships, but they might through UCO.
That's what I mean. Like, it's part of UCO.
Right.
If you get like 32 or 33, you get, I forget what it's called, but it was free tuition in any high school.
And you got that, didn't you?
I was 1 point away from it.
Okay.
It's like I got a 32 as an average, but if you get a 32 and everything, something like that. It's like your total score, it's like your overall score is average, 128. And mine ended up like 127 for my subscores.
But didn't
but
you
I still got it through OSU.
Okay.
OSU still gave me the same scholarship.
But you got some, the one that Ashton Keltner got.
That's Allstate. I gave him Allstate.
Okay, yeah.
And that's... I got money for it. I don't know how much.
Okay. Well, he's got.
Yeah, he used to buy for that.
Then when it was born, sure enough.
Okay. Well, I'll be sending him to you.
Anytime.
Okay. Because he
The math one's tough.
He said it was easy except math.
Yeah.
So. We'll go to the school and get paper.
And then one day she had paper
and
She was on a research.
Telling her before I got to take her home, my next door neighbor's dog had them, and telling her she was so beautiful. And then I ended up naming her Bella, but I heard that she did.
It's beautiful.
Yes. I'm glad you know that. And then sign what God does. And this one, she warns really until like I start rubbing her chest, and then she'll stop whining. If I stop, she'll stop whining until she's had enough.
And whenever Lisa moved out, she went to her mom and she said that was very humbling for her. She was married, then see that it was not.
I bored her, Polly, last year. I noticed she stopped. She was a kind of
guy. She showed that to me a long time ago.
All right.
I thought maybe she didn't want to play catch no more. You know, because we're going to get older, but you weren't that old. But this year, I finally realized that my work college, she had went home. I don't know what was it, but as soon as I realized what was going on, she seemed more, I guess, excited for things that I
don't want to take care of. We do.
If I put something that rhymes on the horse, she'll know it's deep fighting for good. And I'll walk around the backyard with her, and she'll follow the sound of my feet. And one night, I was standing real still, turned around, she was sitting there just a little ways from me. And my other little dog, Melody, came walking up right with her. And then she followed the steps with that dog and went with her. So she followed the sounds.
That's sweet.
Amy, but when I first, now, my border collie, picked her out because the border collie needs to take her. She was in the dog pound. And the Lord told me Well, there's another confirmed.
makes me a lot of friends. A lot of people come to talk about
her. All right,
let's go. We're meeting them there.
Okay, so bye.
Every now and then the lady asks me to take vases and put flowers in them and give them to people around town. And I send out cards with words of encouragement.
Bye, Sharon. I did. Did he shake?
Welcome.
No, she actually.
Just gave welcome.
All right.
Yeah. Guys.
And
with the GPS.
With the following someone with the GPS.
He called and was like, I'm just parked on the side of the road.
And it's like Oklahoma City, so it's like
I don't know where to go.
There's a lot of us like you just drive one way until there's like a main road and then you get on that one and then
yeah.
He doesn't trust himself to do
Or technology.
Yeah. But there's a lake.
No.
What was that
line?
What were we talking about?
We might be hanging out tonight.
So you we just need Sierra to get her homework done.
Get your homework done. No.
Learn your rules.
I won't now say, okay, guys? For the sake of friend time and pancakes and bacon.
For the sake of pancakes.
All right, guys, I really got them under my thumb now.
Are you getting in the car with me?
Yeah, babe! I'm just getting in the car with you, babe.
It's okay.
Because I get that from everyone else, and I'm willing to be the...
Okay. Hey Ray, get over yourself, man. Where's your card?
Right here.
Oh man.
I'm gonna drive.
Oh, golly. And our pets' heads are falling off.
And life is hard.
Oh no.